Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey guys, I want to welcome you to our episode of More Than That, where we take some time just to dive a little bit deep into our sermon. And today we have Gus Bird. Usually he's the one interviewing, but today he's the one on the hot seat because he preached on Sunday on Psalm 39. It's become my greatest fun to give him the dark psalms. I was like, listen, you could probably do this one better. And he did an excellent job. So Gus, we're going to probably start with this one. Like, so if you had just 10 more minutes, what else would you say? Or maybe even just like something that you were musing on later on after that. I know you were musing on the fireworks. I don't know if you were still thinking about the sermon. But what came about when you were eating the hot dogs and singing the national anthem?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot. It's a deep psalm, and could spend a lot of time going, you know, 100 different ways with it. So picking one or two things, first probably would be I was talking to a gentleman earlier, and he was questioning about the life. My life is as a vapor, and my life is as a shadow kind of analogies, and kind of wanted some more explanation on that. And you know, basically what I told him was that we have to keep in mind that, you know, the Psalms are poetry. So while we could take it literally, and it's quite possible that the psalmist was truly reflecting on how his life was like a vapor compared to God. And
yeah,
it's true. Mm-hmm. Like, in light of eternity, we are as a vapor. But also on the other side, you know, it's also how he was feeling. And yeah, we could look at it like that and resonate with that. So, and that's kind of the great thing about the Psalms, is you could read the same psalm over and over and get, you know, God reveal or apply it to you differently each time, and each time would be needed for your life and your walk. So with that, like, kind of encouragement to keep going back to the Psalms, just because you read it once doesn't mean you've got it all. The other thing is that the honesty with which that the psalmist was expressing towards God. And some people are shocked by some of the words in the Psalms, but really that's God giving us license to be that honest and blunt.
Yeah.
With him.
With him before him.
With him before him,
not before other people.
Well, and that's kind of it. We should also be able to be that honest before God's people, and
yeah.
That's if we're not, then we need to, you know, we need to figure out why and try to do better. That's kind of what I was getting at, is like, you know, why. Why is it that so many people feel like they can't go to the church? Why is it that so many people, it's not that they feel like they can't, they've had bad experiences with the church.
And, yeah.
How that has affected them and their walk with Christ, and the turmoil that it creates, because, you know, they have to hold back that part of themselves before his people. It's devastating. So But like if I could say one more thing to God's people, to our church, it would be just the, I would really want to encourage you to recognize that that's not what God wants. He does not want you to be silent before his people. So as scary as it may be, it's Satan working against you, and to have faith in Christ working against Satan, and claim your sonship before God, and don't be silent, especially before God, and strive to not be silent before his people, and give his community a chance. So and then for the rest of us, again, I just want to reemphasize, we gotta listen and advocate for those who are speaking up. So,
well, that's good. Yeah. So here, when you're talking about like, do not be silent, because so there's two instances that I see. Like, for example, there's going to be a Psalm 73, which is going to say, man, I thought to speak in front of God's people, but if I had done so, I would have led many generations astray. Mm-hmm. So there's the speaking that is you basically like coming in and being vulnerable before people of God, and them listening to you and letting you, and basically like not being, what you call it, not being shocked by your sin, or maybe shocked by your hurt, or maybe like you were saying, like victims, mm-hmm. where basically like they feel like they cannot be open with the church. But then there's also just the silence, obviously, on like when you get to Psalm 73, where mm-hmm. where he is literally like, because he's just almost like and on the verge of blaspheming God.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, so there's that silence there, like, yeah. where it's like, okay, all right, you know, yeah. what I mean? Like before even some people where you have that language that like, you know, might drag other people down instead of up, you know, which is what the psalmist in Psalm 73 yeah. says. But then like you were mainly talking more on, Can we be like Christ, open our arms to the hurting, and can the hurting actually trust us with their hurts,
right?
And not feel like the church is the last place to go to,
right?
Yeah. So,
is there a question there?
No. I when I was processing what you were saying, and it really just kind of, for me, it took me back, even not only just like, I know you used like single mothers, you used the, and I want you to press in on this a little bit more. You know, like just watching, like you and I have done like some marriage counseling,
yeah.
and we've done, and we're parents. Mm. I started thinking about like, okay, this whole voicelessness being suffering,
mm-hmm.
Like how then, like I would love you to speak more a little bit into, because just in counseling, I've also just kind of seen how the wife,
mm-hmm.
like just because she's just so scared that he's going to respond in like, mm-hmm. he's going to explode, or even vice versa,
yeah.
like the husband is just scared that she's gonna respond in this way, like just different things to the mm-hmm. point that you watch almost like a marriage struggle because somebody's voice has been muzzled,
mm-hmm.
like, or even parenting.
Yeah,
you watch like, and I was just like, I was thinking about that and just thinking, do you see that as something that also maybe even there's some kind of like, you know, we can talk about the community as a whole, But even in interpersonal relations, do you see that as like, man, I could be guilty of muzzling my own wife or muzzling my own children to the point that I'm robbing them of their personhood?
Yeah. I mean, that's the... So we've talked about before the idea of poverty, and a lot of people view poverty
that's good.
As lack of wealth.
Yeah.
But really, when the people who are considered impoverished or poor, when they explain their own circumstances, the biggest thing that comes out is that they feel like they are unheard. They don't have a voice.
Yeah.
They're helpless before of their situation. So in that sense, you could very easily inflict poverty on somebody just by muzzling them or making them feel like they can't be muzzled or they can't speak. So when in a marriage, in any kind of relationship, just doesn't have to be like marriage or significant other, parent child, any interactions with other humans, we can do that. We can inflict poverty on other people by causing them to feel muzzled, or they feel like they have to muzzle themselves because they're not safe to speak. And especially in marriage and parenthood, you know, you were meant to be an image of Christ to our kids, to our significant other. And what does Christ do? He gives us our voice back.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. So when we do the opposite, it's devastating. Like, you know, marriage counseling, the books say, you know, the worst situation, the worst, I guess, sign or worst, I guess, symptom. In a marriage is stonewalling, where they stop talking, they stop interacting, because that is them. There is no hope then, because they've given up hope. They've muzzled themselves because they feel like there's no point, and that's really that person has left the building. You know, their personhood. They don't feel like a person in that relationship that matters, that has a voice. So they're done. And it's one of the most hopeless, like going in as a counselor, it's one of the most hopeless situations is when one of them has stonewalled. So making sure we give the other a voice or are enabling them to speak, that's our duty as Christians.
Wow.
So
that's good, man. Like, so that just made me really realize, like, I don't know, like, a million things were exploding once you say that. And I feel like I just kind of end up just like, because you're saying God is the God who speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And sin strips us of our voice, which that was so good. And then Christ restores.
Yeah.
So God gives voice.
Mm-hmm.
Gives voice. And not only that, we see that even in the psalm right here, that God gives voice, that he actually opens up audience. Because we see this and we're so surprised why he speaks like this way before God. And then that Christ restores that voice that was stripped away from us by sin. Man, like, I thought that was really good in terms of, so the best gift we can give each other, especially in the church, is the gift of voice. Is the gift of voice. But by doing that, we are reflecting even Christ. And so I feel like that was like the weight of even your message, because you were even charging us as the church in terms of like, guys, are we listening?
Are we
doing that? And which is actually like, I wanted you to kind of just run towards this. I know you kind of spoke, but like, this is another tangent that came to my mind.
Okay.
he started talking about like the journey of fostering and like how hard it's been, but at the same time that though like you're watching your foster child and all of a sudden they find this freedom to speak, they found the freedom to speak and express emotion, and it's simply because they've now become comfortable. How could you encourage, like, because for me, like, when you told that story, all of a sudden I was like, God, this is us. You find us broken and, like, muzzled and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, God, this is why Psalm 39 exists. Like, Psalm 39 is, like, your foster child who's found. And then all of a sudden, yes, God begins to restore. And then all of a sudden, what comes out of their mouth... And the church usually runs when this comes out of their mouth. And but you were saying, but this is the time to buckle down and sit down. Like so my thing is like, so this is the question. this is the question. Just what are some, I know you covered some of that, like, but man, like, what are some of the ways that we can respond? Just really just some of the things. I know you are very big on this, like, just in terms of, like, listening. What are some of the ways we can respond so that we're not ridiculing instead and then we're providing rest? I think you went into, you described a couple of words in there. And I was just like, it was so good because it was like, and I just kind of, I had to pick up these ones because there was a couple of other ones where... Where I was just like, man, like, a single mother walks in. Because this is the part. You saw me cry over a single mother that, like people were, like, saying, just, man, let her go to the shelter. Like, let her. And I was just like, how could you, as a believer, say that? But yet we can be, it's almost like we're pro-life, right? We're pro-life, but then... A single mother walks in with a child, an infant, and all of a sudden it's like, ah, like, that's just too much. Don't take her in. Like, that's just going to be like, are you okay? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, man, how can, because for me, once I open my eyes, like, and this is, I feel like City Church gets a chance to do this. God keeps on giving us chances over and over. Where people that walk in, people walk in that are like this. Yeah, man, like, what are just some of the ways, like, practical ways that we can just kind of, like, maybe walk away with so that basically we're not on the side where I just would hate it for somebody to say, hey, I was in Raphael's presence, and, man, he just, I didn't find rest there.
Yeah. Well, going back to the foster care analogy, as the kids get more comfortable, or they're growing confident in the safety of their home, and that the love and it's attachment. Like, they're feeling secure in the attachment that they have with the people there. They feel like, okay, all of a sudden this now can come to the surface. So really, when, and I don't believe it goes away after you turn 12. So as a Christian community, when we see a believer growing in their faith and now they're struggling with another thing, that shouldn't be something that we run from. It should be like we celebrate, like, this is proof, this is a fruit of your sanctification. This is,
it's good.
Let's we're not going anywhere because Christ didn't give up on us. We're not giving up on you. We can get through this. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged, and you know we'll be here through the process. Just don't. I think the biggest thing is like expect it. Like when we're all messed up. We all have issues. When somebody has a new struggle, a new sin struggle, it may be God revealing that to that person. Like, are you willing? Do you feel comfortable? Secure enough in your attachment to me that we can deal with this now. And some people, that's when they backslide into their old ways because it's a struggle for them to deal with that emotional injury, with that hurt, because you know it is difficult to process. But, you know, God doesn't want us to run away from him. He wants us to run to him, so, and his, to his community. So as believers in the community, like, don't, it really breaks my heart when people give up on each other because, you know, they're going back again. Well, why?
Yeah.
They don't want to. It's just what they've known.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have you been talking to them? Do you know why they're back at the bar? Do you know why they're back?
Yeah.
Maybe another thing has come up that they are struggling to deal with. And it's not easy. I'm not saying this with a flippantly like, oh, but it's an easy task, but just challenging us to do better
and yeah.
not dismissing people for things that, you know, it is a hard thing. But to get to your question, how can we be people to trust and place where they can have peace and rest? One is, you know, start with listening to understand, not respond. It's really easy to throw a Bible verse at somebody as a response, or to I don't want to say just, but a lot of people do stop at this. They just pray and walk away. Like, yes, we can. We need to start with prayer, but we really are encouraged to not end with prayer. Like,
yeah.
that's where we need to start, but we need to keep going. And be a place where, you know, we often have prejudice with things that we don't understand. And we pass judgment with things we don't understand. But it takes time to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to have a place where people have peace is when they feel it's a place where they're understood.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking that time to, like, just have those hard conversations. I know if, you know, my wife, you know, was a single mom for a while before I met her, and, you know, people, they asked her questions to, you know, for their own edification. Like, one of the most hurtful things the question that my wife received was, oh, I didn't know you were married. They knew she wasn't. It was a question not to, like, encourage her. It was a question that was like a jab.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's not gonna provide peace at all.
Yeah. It's actually pretty interesting because I was talking to a young lady who was pregnant, and her biggest anxiety, like pregnant out of wedlock,
mm-hmm.
her biggest anxiety was, what are they gonna say?
Yep.
Like, and I was like, listen, I just like, what are they gonna say?
Yeah.
What are they gonna say? And it's pretty interesting. At least it's been very good to know that, like, man, she came, and there wasn't so much of, mm-hmm. like, all those things, like, but there's been some things where we've had to kind of stop and just have to be like, okay, we got to deal with that. Yeah. So,
and I know that a lot of times it's out of response of uncomfortableness. Like, I don't know what to say, so I'm going to say this. So, but in reality, like, by being honest about, hey, I don't know what to say, I don't understand, or I, you know, that sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being honest about that before them actually validates the difficulty of their situation. So, like, that's okay to say.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, I haven't been through that. I don't really understand what you're going through, but I'm here for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can I do? Or, you know, how can I support you? You know, the Psalms are bluntly honest. Like, we can also be honest before each other.
That's good. Yeah.
So, I think we just, biggest thing is we need to be more vulnerable and honest before each other.
I think that's good.
That'd be big.
And to be faithfully, and I picked this up from your sermon, and to be faithfully present. At least you know I was listening, okay? And to be faithfully present. Because, like, you were talking about the judge saying to your wife, why are you still here? Mm. Like, to really be in the midst of, like, I don't understand, but I'm going to faithfully be present. And there, like, and just really basically, like, being faithfully present makes you earn the trust so that people can finally be free to talk exactly what deeply hurts.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so just I was kind of like listening to that when you were saying the judge was like, basically the judge was probably saying, if I were you, I would walk away. But then she's saying, hey, listen, I believe in a God who's what? Who's actually
steadfast.
And then Christ, who abides with us, and the Holy Spirit, like, and which is almost like your summary of your psalm, like, so therefore, I can't do anything but be, like, you know, so,
yeah.
It was cool, you talk your wife up really good, so, yeah.
It's not hard.
It's not hard. Anyway, is there just one more thing you want to say before we end?
As much as I may, I guess, encouragingly criticize, I am grateful for our church, and I really am blessed to see the faithfulness of the people that we have in going to those uncomfortable places,
and
reaching out to those people who, you know, many people consider untouchable, and just loving them because, you know, we have freely received, so
freely give,
Yeah,
man, and I want to say that, like, probably you probably I don't know how you're gonna take this, but you and your wife, you and your wife have contributed so much just to the fabric of our community in that way. Which is one of the reasons why I was so excited for you to be part of even the stuff here, because that is literally the heart. Even as we're going through regroup right now, gentle and lowly, that is the heart, like, that we want to see, like, just really being embodied. And I've seen that in your life. I've seen that in your wife's life. And it's contagious, and it's everybody's catching that bug here at the church. So, and I'm praying that, like, at least just even that sermon continues to bear that much fruit as well. And yeah, so man, thank you so much. Continue to lead us into being a church that I always describe you guys. I say Gus and Carrie's are the people that if you are suffering, you want them on the floor with you. Right? There's some people where you're like, I don't want that person here. But Gus and Carrie's, man, you want them because they're gonna be there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us in More Than That. We pray that this was a blessing to you. And not only that, that this would also continue to bear fruit in order to make our church the church that actually gives voices, just like Christ and God do to us. So God bless.
God bless. Thank you.